The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast, Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, where every episode of the show, we are trying to empower superwomen, help you guys find your gifts and go and change our world. Joining me today is Terry Real. Terry is a nationally recognized family therapist, an author, and a teacher. He is particularly known for his groundbreaking work on men and male psychology, as well as his work on gender and couples, and he's been in private practice for over 25 years. Terry's appeared often as a relationship expert for Good Morning America and ABC News. His work has been featured in numerous academic articles, as well as media venues such as Oprah 2020, The Today Show, CNN, The New York Times, and more. Terry founded the Relational Life Institute in Arlington, Massachusetts, dedicated to working with the general population to help women reclaim their voices and to help men open their hearts. Welcome to the show, Terry. What an important topic. Well, I'm so thrilled to have you here today.
Oh, thank you. I'm absolutely delighted to be here. Thank you.
Now, as women, you know, we talk a lot about women's wellness and women's health. We've got to just be real here for just a second. You know, we're very much defined by our relationships, and we're very much defined by the people in it. And I've noticed in practice, most women are somewhat defined by their marriage and the strength of that marriage, the weakness of that marriage, some of the challenges in there. What's been your observation about women and relationships and where some of the angst and unhappiness is coming from?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. Women are the pioneers, and women are also the most dissatisfied. It's both. Look, the bar has been raised. When the 20th century history is written, the big story is going to be the changing role of women. Women's empowerment.
Yes.
Such workforce,
I love it.
Women in money, women in health. And the issue is that women empowered in ways that are historically revolutionary are no longer needing marriage financially, logistically,
right,
the way they did, say, in Jane Austen's day. And because mm-hmm. marriage isn't necessary, the question then becomes, why should I do it? What have you got for me? And women have really raised the bar. We are now asking of our intimate relationships what we used to ask a whole village for. We want our one to be everything for us, and we want to be everything for them, which is fine, except that this culture is a patriarchal culture. It's a male-dominated culture that does not teach boys and girls the skills we need to pull off this new ambition. And so women are, I believe, in a chronic state, many, a chronic state of dissatisfaction in their marriages. The bottom line is that women are asking for more emotional intimacy from men than we raise boys and men to deliver for them. There's a disjuncture in the roles. And women are asking for more. 70% of divorces instituted by women. Self Magazine five years ago did a survey of 10,000 women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, all married over 5 years, said, if you had to do over again, would you pick the same partner? Listen to this. 78% said no, they would not.
Wow.
Women are unhappy. Women want more intimacy in their marriages. And women bring their men into therapists like me.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't therapy. Women bring men into therapy. If I had a nickel for every guy who called me up and said, hey, I got to get my wife in here. We're not as close as we used to be. I would not mm-hmm. be able to retire. Let me just put it that way. Women bring in men,
goodness,
and
we goodness.
Say general. What, say again?
And I'm still stumbling over the fact that 70% of divorces are initiated by women. I mean, I talk a lot about, you know, women trying to be superwomen, the amazing stress that that brings to women. And like you're saying, because still marriage, you know, is still very much in a patriarchal structure, women bear that stress. I just see it more physically, right? They're bearing that stress more physically because they're trying to do 50,000 things at once. And sometimes you have an amazing partner that gets it, and sometimes you don't. But it's the emotional intimacy, and it seems like what you're saying, that's really driving the ultimate unhappiness. Do I have that right?
You have that right. And it's the pearl of great price. Women are right in wanting more emotional intimacy. See, therapists across America try and be neutral. Well, you have your point of view and you have your, forget it. Intimacy is a good thing. What women are asking for is good. Therapists need to support women in what they're asking for. Now, the way they're going about asking for it, their delivery might stand a little bit of work. But that they want intimacy from guys is a good thing. Intimacy does us well, not just emotionally, but physically as well. Intimacy is as much a health factor as issues like smoking, nutrition, exercise.
I agree.
It's really up there with those.
I mean, I cannot agree more. I've literally seen a woman in a good marriage versus bad marriage, and you know, a good marriage, a woman with a partner who is super, you know, super supportive and emotionally intimate. Those are the women with better deliveries, better pregnancies, better equal distribution of household chores and tasks and things like that. The ones that are not, those are the ones coming in. Either they're struggling, right? And they have hormone issues and cortisol issues and adrenal fatigue, or they do go through and they actually get divorced. And soon after that divorce, there's cancer and breast cancer and all these other relationships. I could not agree with you more that emotional intimacy is just as important as everything else that we talk about. So I'm so glad that you're bringing attention to that. And I'm pretty sure everybody out there listening is cheering you on right now because you just said women are right. So that's amazing. But, you know, while we may be right, when we find ourselves in a position, in a relationship, and the partner that we have may not have the skill set, like you're saying, because boys aren't raised with this tool set or the skill set. They may not have the skill set to be emotionally intimate. They're mirroring or copying a model from the past. What do we do? What are we supposed to do? What's like the next step? You know, what can somebody do in that situation?
I'll tell you exactly what to do, ladies. And if I can, you can also go to my website. I've got a workshop, an online workshop on basic relationship skills I call staying in love, which goes into all this in more detail. But here's a short version. There's three phases in getting what you want, particularly for women in a relationship. The first I call dare to rock the boat. This is when you grab your partner by the collar and say, listen, this is really important to me. You know, we haven't had sex in 3 months, or you don't talk to me, don't even ask me about my day, or when I talk to you, you know, whatever, or you yell at me and you're kind of a... Whatever the issues are, these are the issues and they're important. They need to be dealt with. If the man does not respond, that's your signal to get into couples therapy, by the way. If you can't get through to him, then get some help getting through. But let's say you do. Okay, honey, I got it. All right. I don't want to be a bully. I don't want you to feel disrespected. Okay. Once your partner hears it, then it's your job to help out. Drop the stick, drop the sword, drop the shield. Roll up your sleeve, and now I call this helping him win. The second phase is sitting down and telling the guy what you want up front. I want women to be more assertive up front and less resentful on the back end. So if you want a listener, for example, I did a piece for O Magazine on this. There are three kinds of listeners. Supportive listeners, empathic, oh, I'm sorry, tell me more about it. There are problem-solving listeners. Well, have you thought about doing this? And they're sharing listeners. Oh, your knee, you should listen to what the doctor said about my knee. There's nothing wrong with any of those. Where people get fouled up is the woman wants an empathic listener and the guy goes into problem solving. John Gray made millions of dollars on it. One point. Not that I'm resentful or anything. But anyway, that's how it is. I want women to say to the guy, I got 15 minutes of venting to do about my whatever, fight with my best friend. And what I want you to do these 15 minutes is I just want you to say, I'm sorry, that sucks, tell me more about it. Will you be willing to do that? So the second phase is help breaking it down, teaching them what you want, and then the third phase is positive feedback. I teach women to celebrate the glass 15% full. It was only 5% full last week. So you say, good progress, let's keep going. You don't discourage and beginning awkward efforts to give you what you want, you encourage them. That's the formula. Rock the boat, break it down and teach him, reward him when he tries.
All right, everybody out there listening today, I hope you took those down, those three steps to help you create emotional intimacy with your partner. I think they're so important because I think what I've seen quite frequently in different relationships is that we often take a different approach. We take the railroad approach and then we take the anger approach, and it comes out as passive aggressive. And for many successful career women, I don't know if you agree with me, Terry, but another thing I keep warning like girlfriends and stuff like that about, sometimes what makes you successful in a career doesn't always make you successful personally. So you can't railroad somebody else. You can't run over them. And you do have to adopt some style of listening even to them. Is that something you've observed too? As women become more successful, they have trouble, maybe some trouble with intimacy as well, because we're just, quite honestly, we're in our head all the time. Is that an issue as well?
Well, you know, it goes like this. Patriarchy splits the world in two. There are feminine qualities, quote unquote, and masculine qualities, quote unquote. And what happens is that under patriarchy, you can either be connected or you can be powerful, but you can't be both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again, important point. You can have affiliation connection, that's the feminine side. Or you can have power and autonomy, that's the masculine side. But you can't have both at the same time. So when women move into relationship, you hear many of them say, I lose myself, I lose my voice. You have others say, I'm so into my needs, I'm not sure that I'm really fully yielding in the relationship. And what I want women to do is what I call stand up for yourself with love. Bring your voice in the relationship and cherish your guy and cherish the marriage, both in the same breath. Can I give you a quick example?
Please. I think we're hungry for it.
Well, it's the difference between saying to somebody, I don't like how you're talking to me. Don't talk to me like that. Or saying, honey, I want to hear what you have to say. Could you tone it down so I could listen? So which of those two things do you think is going to go over better?
The second one, for sure.
The first is about standing up for yourself. That's fair enough. But the step up of not having any voice at all. But the second cherishes the partner and cherishes the relationship while you are exerting power, both. It's love and power both in the same breath. And that takes a little skill for women to learn how to do that.
That is such a beautiful way to say that. And I think that makes, honestly, the most successful relationships that I've seen, where there's love and power together. Neither one is necessarily, you know, forcing or ruling the hand of the other. It's just constant open dialogue and communication. And it's such a good thing to see.
More with Dr. Taz coming up, but first I want to tell you about Sunbasket. Sunbasket delivers delicious meal kits right to your door, making healthy cooking easy and convenient for any busy lifestyle. Now, you know, mindful eating is an essential part of self-care, and every part of our life is enhanced when we eat nourishing, healthy meals. And with Sunbasket, you can enjoy delicious, mindful meals every night. Now, I know sometimes staying on track can be hard, but that's where Sunbasket comes in to make it easy to eat right. Sunbasket offers 18 weekly recipes, including paleo, gluten-free, vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and more, all delivered to your door. Sunbasket takes care of the details, so it's easier to take care of yourself. And did I mention Sunbasket contains organic produce and clean ingredients? That's right. Sunbasket works with the best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce and responsibly raised meats and seafood. And we want you to experience Sunbasket for yourself. Go to sunbasket.com/wholehealth today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/wholehealth for $35 off. sunbasket.com/wholehealth. Now back to the Dr. Taz Show.
Now, I do know, while we as women understand that for the most part, and we also recognize our own flaws in some of these situations, I hope. I do know, though, that it is really hard. I've watched patients and I've watched friends struggle where men are too deep. They're just too deep into this patriarchal model that you talk about, into the power model that they talk about. They use that model. They strip women of their power. They break up the family. And it's a horror story that I've had to sit through and listen to, I don't know how many thousands of times in my last decade of working with women. how is there a way to put a stopgap on that? How does somebody, other than the three steps that you've given us, if you know, what does somebody do when there's a lot of power, a lot of, you know, strength in this particular male, and the woman just feels, you know, both, hey, she wants her voice, but there's a financial need or there's the concern about the family, and they just can't wrap themselves around it. What do those women do?
Look, whenever I talk to women about being empowered and standing up to irresponsible men or bullying men or withholding men, they all come back to me with their fears about what standing up is going to do for the relationship.
Right.
And I always take those fears very, very seriously. I never pathologize the woman's concerns or fears about speaking up. The issue, though, is if you speak up, these consequences might happen. Your fears may come true. If you do not speak up, I guarantee you nothing will change in your relationship.
Right.
So pick your poison.
And then what do women do, too? Like you also mentioned, and I've sat with women on this too, so many therapists believe in ground zero, right? Let's be neutral. Let's be equal. Let's let this one here. Let's let that one here. And there's never any forward traction. You know, how do they find somebody like you who really gets the shifting and the changing that needs to happen? It's not just about hearing one side versus the other side. It's more about trying to get people to communicate from this common place. You know, how do we sift through all the different therapists that are out there today? You know, in some ways, therapy is now more widely accepted, which is fantastic. I remember, you know, there was probably my mom's generation where you didn't speak about therapy, you didn't talk about being in therapy, and now some people see therapy as being preventive. Where do you think the right role of therapy is, and how do you find the right person?
Okay, so look, I'm very passionate about this. I go around the country telling therapists that there's a design flaw in therapy, and the design flaw is that under the guise of neutrality, when women bring men in so that we can help the man be more relational, and we don't back the woman up but act as if both of them have 50% of the problem, which is just not true. When we play that game with women, we throw them under the bus and we're of no help at all. You need a therapist who is going to say to you, look, the way you're doing this is terrible. You can't, you know, you're just complaining about the guy. That's not going to work. Let me teach you what will work. But what you're asking for is fine. And you, sir, are a statistic. There are hundreds of thousands of guys being dragged into offices so that they can be more communicative or less argumentative or more responsible or whatever. You know what? Happy wife, happy life. It's in your interest.
My husband says that all the time, and he's pretty happy. So anyhow, I think he is. I better check. But anyhow, I think he is. I think that's so frustrating for women when they hear that. But, you know, it's like, well, therapy got us nowhere because we split up and we spent equal time, but neither one of us are pushing forward. I get that feedback quite a bit.
All the time. So, honestly, I have trained a therapist all over the country, and the best way to get a relational life therapist, somebody who's trained to not be neutral but stand up for intimacy, is to go to my website, terryreal.com, and we have therapists around the country. If you don't have one there, or if you don't want to go that route, you want your therapist to be active, and you want a therapist that's going to take your side when you're right and not be a wimp about it. And you can put that right out to the therapist in an initial interview. These are the things I want. Are you prepared to do that?
Such great advice. Ladies, if you didn't hear it, it was terryreal.com. That's a great resource for helping you find the right therapist, making sure you're pre-screening, asking the right questions so that you are going to be able to get the most out of the therapy that you're entering into. You know, after therapy, let's say somebody's tried therapy, when is it time to just let go? When is it time to stop?
Well, I talk about... I've actually written about this. I talk about doing what I call a relational reckoning. And Dr. Tess, relational reckoning consists of one question. You ready? Am I getting enough in this relationship to make grieving what I'm not getting worth my while? But am I getting enough in this relationship to let go of what I'm not going to get and feel okay about it?
That's such a great question. I hope you guys all caught that. Very deep question.
We all agree. We're with imperfect people. We want the divine. We get, you know, Joe, whatever, and the discrepancy between the God we want and the schlub we got really sticks in our craw. The question is, am I getting enough to make tolerating your laziness or your lack of communication or our mediocre sex life okay with me because I'm getting enough otherwise? If the answer is no, it's not okay with me, go back and fight. Fight for it. If the answer is, you know what?
And I would urge women too, just in watching you guys, like, you know, be sure of yourself. You deserve more. You deserve more intimacy. You deserve a loving, nurturing relationship that takes you to the highest level. I wouldn't be where I am today without my husband, who very much has nurtured me, you know, so I want that for everyone. So I would encourage women out there, you know, fight for you, fight for what you want. Don't give up too easily. You know, but definitely fight for what you want. Terry, I had one other question too, because I have a son. Sure. And as I think forward, and for many of the women listening today, I'm sure they're thinking the same question. What can we do? What can we do as moms to make sure our boys are ready for the next type of relationship? No longer a patriarchal one, one in which women will be expressing their needs, their wants, and they're not financial and they're not security based. How do we raise good boys?
Well, you know, it's really fascinating because the younger men are good boys. Millennial men expect an egalitarian marriage, expect joint decision making, and people are a lot happier in their relationships. Egalitarian marriages breed happier people than traditional hierarchical ones do. So the younger the man, the better the odds. What you can do with your son is two things. One,
interesting.
Hold on to him. Hold on to him. Make the relational bar high. Don't expect, well, he's a boy, he's going to be monosyllabic. Don't buy into it. Expect communication. Expect cherishing. Expect openness. Your boy is no less heartful than your girl is. Don't buy into all the stereotypes and let him go. I'll tell you a quick story. My son was about 8. I was driving him to hockey practice. He was monosyllabic. I pull the car over and I say, I'm doing you a favor. You're barely talking to me. If you want to get to that hockey practice, I expect you to tell me one thing you learned in school today, one thing you felt, and one thing that's new. This is a true story. And he thought for me and he said, okay.
Oh my gosh, okay. I love it. We deal with this with my son too. It's like, I need a story. Come on, tell me something. Don't go sit in the corner. So funny.
Right. He said, okay. Here's what I got. At the hockey practice, there's a difference between the public school kids and the private school kids. He's 8. I say, well, that's really an interesting observation. What do you think the difference is? He says, I don't know, but it's kind of like the difference between black kids and white kids. My little 8-year-old was the same class. He would no more see that if I hadn't insisted on it than fly. Hold the bar high for your boys. Expect them to be close to you. Don't buy into this business about how boys have to leave their mothers to go find themselves. That's just crap.
You don't have
to leave your mother. You have to negotiate a more mature relationship with her as you grow. But all this separation business is nonsense. Hold on to your boys. Keep them close. Keep them related. And keep them strong. You can do it all. I want whole human beings. The other thing that you can do as a mom is what I call create a relationship-cherishing subculture around you and your family. So friends, church groups. Go to school and form an anti-bullying committee. Go to school and form a committee on how to support boys in being more relational and open.
Ooh, I love that idea.
Explicit
what a great
issue.
Idea.
Give your son support to be a different kind of guy.
That's amazing. So such great advice. Whether it's your husband, whether it's your son, whether it's a nephew, you know, it really is up to us to help empower the men in our lives and help lead them to this place where they can be emotionally more intimate. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today. I feel like this was such great information for all the women out there who we just want to see the light in your eyes and make sure you guys are all having successful, fulfilling relationships. So check out Terry at terryreal.com. Is there any other way that they can connect with you?
No, just go to the website and get on my mailing list. go purchase the workshop, Staying in Love. It's a basic skills workshop. Takes about 8 hours to complete. Watch it with your guy. Throw popcorn at me if you want. And
I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. And for everybody else out there, go be superwomen, superwomen that you already are. Find your light and let's go change the world. Thanks for joining.